Have you ever agreed to something you didn't want to do, not because you chose it, but because the alternative felt unbearable? Maybe it was the silent treatment that stretched for days, the tears that made you feel like a monster, or the threat that someone you love would fall apart without your compliance. This invisible pattern operates in countless relationships, turning intimacy into currency and connection into control. It's emotional blackmail, a manipulation so subtle that victims often can't name what's happening to them, yet so damaging that it slowly erodes the very foundation of who they are. Unlike physical threats, this form of coercion leaves no visible bruises, making it easy to dismiss or rationalize. But make no mistake, when someone weaponizes your love, fear, or guilt to get what they want, you're not in a relationship anymore. You're in a hostage negotiation. Emotional blackmail follows a predictable cycle, though most people don't recognize it until they learn what to look for. It begins innocently enough with a demand. Someone wants something from you. When you hesitate or refuse, pressure emerges. Your reluctance transforms into a character flaw, while their demand becomes perfectly reasonable. If you continue resisting, threats appear, sometimes explicit, often implied. Eventually, most people surrender to avoid the threatened consequences, and the blackmailer learns exactly which buttons to push next time. What makes this pattern particularly insidious is its resemblance to everyday influence. We all occasionally hint instead of asking directly, but manipulation crosses into blackmail when it's systematically used to override your needs and preferences. Emotional blackmailers wear different masks, but share the same desperate need for control. Punishers respond to resistance with immediate anger, my way or the highway. They deploy direct threats or silent treatment to create unbearable tension. Parents often excel at this style, maintaining control over adult children through disapproval and financial leverage. Self-punishers threaten to harm themselves if you don't comply. Like children holding their breath, they warn that your non-compliance will make them sick, depressed, or suicidal. They cast you as the only competent adult responsible for their well-being. Sufferers don't threaten harm, but make it clear, if you don't comply, they will suffer, and it's your fault. Masters of guess what you did to me, they withdraw emotionally when disappointed, becoming teary-eyed without explanation. Though appearing weak, sufferers are quiet tyrants. Tantalizers dangle perpetual rewards, love, money, advancement that remain just out of reach unless you behave exactly as they wish. Most blackmailers combine styles, switching tactics as needed. The distinction from healthy conflict is clear. Blackmail focuses solely on control, dismisses your protests, and refuses accountability. Emotional blackmail thrives in a disorienting fog that clouds judgment. Fog, fear, obligation, and guilt represents three emotional states blackmailers amplify to unbearable levels, weaponizing normal feelings to create such discomfort that victims will do almost anything for relief. Fear forms the foundation. Blackmailers build demands around what terrifies you most: abandonment, anger, disapproval, loneliness, violating the trust that allowed you to reveal vulnerabilities. Lynn, an IRS investigator, repeatedly capitulated to her husband because his withdrawal triggered her terror of being alone. Obligation provides another weapon. Blackmailers exploit duty by emphasizing what they've done and what you owe them, creating everlasting IOUs where past kindnesses become loans with perpetual interest. Maria stayed with her unfaithful husband because he convinced her that leaving would violate family obligations. Guilt completes the triad. Blackmailers exploit undeserved guilt, taking responsibility for others' emotions regardless of actual role. They encourage global responsibility for their unhappiness. Once guilt proves effective, ancient crimes remain perpetually punishable, like Karen's daughter, who never let her forget a childhood accident despite years of apologies. Emotional blackmail robs us of integrity, our inner moral compass defining who we are and where we draw the line. When we capitulate repeatedly, we lose our sense of wholeness, becoming our own harshest critics. We call ourselves wimps and gutless wonders, our self-judgment clouding in the blackmail fog. While minor compromises are normal, patterns of capitulation violate our core principles. Margaret tried convincing herself that group sex was no big deal to please her husband, wondering if she was just being old-fashioned and prudish. Suppressed anger and resentment manifest as depression, anxiety, overeating, headaches, and various ailments. We often betray people we care about. Josh hurts his girlfriend by telling his parents he's not seeing her. Karen became caught between her mother and daughter when her mother refused to attend her own birthday party if Karen's daughter was present. Whatever choice the target makes, someone will be betrayed. Ultimately, emotional blackmail destroys the safety, the goodwill, and trust essential to healthy relationships. The relationship becomes a performance where we pretend to be happy while hiding our true selves. Knowledge without action is useless. When facing emotional blackmail, use SOS. Stop, observe, strategize. First, do nothing. Resist immediate decisions with phrases like, "I need time to think about this." This pause disrupts the demand compliance pattern and shifts the power dynamic. Breaking old patterns creates discomfort. Zoe felt like a heartless criminal despite setting a reasonable boundary. To manage this, externalize the feeling through dialogue. Choose an object representing your discomfort, place it on a chair, and speak to it. This reveals discomfort isn't an all-consuming monster, it's just one manageable part of yourself. Once you've created distance, become an objective observer. Imagine rising through fog to reach a clear observation deck. Document what the blackmailer wanted and how they requested it. Examine their reactions to your refusal. Then, observe your thoughts, especially beliefs like, "I'm responsible for others' happiness." Finally, identify your triggers. Yelling, crying, specific phrases. This clarity becomes your foundation for strategic response. After buying time and observing patterns, evaluate demands thoughtfully. What makes me uncomfortable? Which parts are acceptable? Will complying hurt me or others? Conscious compliance, a thoughtful yes after reflection, works when demands have no negative impacts. Sometimes saying yes violates our standards, triggering discomfort before we consciously recognize it. Four approaches shift the power balance: non-defensive communication, making allies of adversaries, bartering, and humor. Typical defensive responses, arguing, mind reading, appeasing, explaining, only intensify situations. Instead, offer simple, unemotional responses. "I'm sorry you're upset." "I can understand how you might see it that way." "That's interesting." For catastrophic predictions, that's your choice. To name calling, you're entitled to your opinion. Never answer why questions with explanations. Instead say, "We see things differently." When reaching an impasse, involve the blackmailer in problem solving. People support decisions they've helped make. Rather than fighting his wife Joe's anxiety about his business trip, Alan asked what would make her feel better. This collaborative approach replaced their all-or-nothing dynamic with mutual solutions. Bartering creates similar win-win outcomes by acknowledging both parties need to change. This final phase dismantles the emotional hot buttons that enable manipulation. While new behaviors show success, fear, obligation, and guilt persist from years of conditioning. Fear in emotional blackmail anticipates dangers that rarely materialize. Managing it requires setting aside worst-case thinking and developing positive alternatives. If anger triggers intense reactions, set boundaries. "I'm not willing to be yelled at," and walk away. Two exercises transform fear: rewriting history by reimagining past confrontations where you stand firm, and playing the blackmailer by acting out their behavior to reveal their insecurity. For abandonment anxiety, Lynn used visualization, entering her imagined black hole and finding her way out, proving it exists only in imagination. Challenge obligation by writing "where is it written" before assumed duties. Distinguish appropriate from undeserved guilt. If your action was malicious or truly harmful, guilt creates healthy remorse. If you're doing something healthy without intending harm, the guilt is undeserved. Changing your response isn't instantaneous. You'll falter, but learn from both triumphs and mistakes. Once you stop waiting for others to change and work on yourself, relationships transform. When you cut through the fog and interrupt emotional bullying, confusion lifts, replaced by confidence and self-respect. With each step, you restore your integrity. That precious wholeness was never lost, just waiting for you all along.